Well, I wanted to have Brother Lynn Scherf, if you don't mind, Brother Lynn, to come to the pulpit, and I wanted him to share a testimony of God's goodness, and many of you don't know him yet, but what a blessing he has been to me, and I thank God for him. Of course, his dad labored for many, many years. His father was one of the closest friends to Preacher Lashley here, Preacher Scherfy up in Bristol, and Brother Lynn helped him for so many years and has been a great blessing to me. I'm going to ask him to come share a testimony tonight. Thank you, brother.
Good evening. I appreciate this church. I really do. It's been a blessing to me in my life for many, many years. Dr. Lashley was a friend of my father. Him and Dr. Lashley were what you call two peas in a pod. And they were best of buddies and loved to be with each other. I loved to watch them together. I loved to watch them preach their sermons to each other. You know, how's this? How does this sound? Or how does this sound? Well, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Well, I'm glad you're not me. You know, just things like this. Just things that preachers do. But I got to watch that. God put me in that place to watch their lives and grow up in a church and in a setting that I can worship God in spirit and in truth. And be here 60 years old and say that I have loved every minute of it. I grew up in church. You might say I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night prayer or visitation, Saturday morning bus ministry, and back to church on Sunday morning. And if there was a revival, back then it was a week long, or sometimes 2 weeks. And as a kid, I didn't really fully understand it. But now at 60 years old, I thank God for it. I see kids that are growing up, don't even know nothing about church, don't know nothing about the goodness of God that sustains us every single day. You think you wake yourself up, but God's the one that wakes you up and gives you that day to glorify him, to praise him, to say, thank you, God, for loving me and sustaining me and being God who you are. You didn't sustain yourself. I didn't sustain myself. I've been in the ministry for 38 years, and it's been rough, tough. There's been peaks and there's been valleys. But one thing that I know, the same God that's on the mountaintop is the same God in the valley. It's just who you put your faith and trust in. And I put my faith and trust in God when I was 8 years old. And I grew up. Did I make mistakes? Oh, yeah. I had a father that believed in discipline. He believed the Bible, you know, the spare the rod stuff. And he did. And I thank God for it. At that time, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was very abusive. I thought he was mean. I look back now, and the love that he had for me, he was my friend. He was my mentor. He was my hero. And I thank God for that. We got to work together in church for 38 years. He would preach. I would lead the singing. And when he wasn't there, I would help out, fill out preaching as well. But I said all that to say this. God has a plan. God knows about your life. The young man, that about his child, God knew exactly that they would be in that same position at what time they would be there. Because God's in control. We think we're in control. We do nothing. We know nothing. Because God knows it all. And he knows everything that goes on in our lives. And I thank God for it. But here we are coming up close on Easter Sunday. Easter, the time that God gave his son for an old sinner such as us. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But he gave it to us anyway because he loved us. He loved us. He was loyal to us. If you break down that word love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you break down that word love, it stands for loyalty. He was loyal to us. The day, every day that you get up is a day that God gave you to say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Your feet hits the floor. Thank you, Lord, for the health and the strength that you give me. For the clothes that are on your back, the food on your table, the car to drive, the job he gives you, the house that he gives you. That's the Lord being loyal to you every single day. Omnipresence, no matter where I go, he's right there with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way because he loves us and he's loyal to us. Omnipresence. Then he wants to hear your voice. He wants you to talk to him. How does he talk to us? Through his word. But he wants you to talk to him. You have not because you ask not. So we have to communicate with him. But he wants to hear your voice. Pray. Seek his face. And the last part of that verse, he will give us everlasting, eternal life. All that's wrapped up because he loves us. And I thank God that he loved me to put me in the ministry for 38 years to preach the gospel, proclaim his goodness. I'm nothing special. You're nothing special. But he didn't say you had to be a certain way. He just wanted your availability. That's all. And let him do the rest. And I thank God for that. I'll say this and I'll get out of the way. My father told me, he said, son, live your life in joy. He says, put Jesus first. Serve others. Be a blessing to others. And then yourself. He says, if you live your life like that, he said, then you, when you get to heaven, you can see Jesus. You can see others that have gone on before. And he said, look, and he looked me dead in the eye. And he said, I want to see you there too. I'm going to be there, and I hope you will. I love my father, and I want to be there with him. Thank you. God bless you. If I could be a help to you in any way, I'd be glad to you. I sit right over here. I've met some of the people that's right over here. I haven't met anybody on this side yet. So maybe we need to meet in the middle and do our acquaintances, but God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Amen to that. Well, I thank God for him, and I want you to get to know him as well. And he is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to me and a friend. Well, I want to close tonight with a passage in Hebrews chapter number 11. And you know we've been going through this prayer book, and there's still a few available. Amy doesn't have very many left, but if you'd like one, we've had several folks that have bought some for another person. They wanted to give it to them. But one of the lessons was about Abraham, and talked about Abraham and that faith that he had and that determination in prayer, but that confidence. Faith is the substance, the Bible says, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it says in that same chapter, Hebrews 11. But in verse number 9, I want you to look there, if you would, find your place in Hebrews chapter 11. And as we look at verse number 9 and 10, we see that confidence that Abraham had. Brother Lynn was just talking about that confidence that he'll see his dad again as he got saved as a young boy and then went on from there to say how you're supposed to live your life now that you're saved. Live for Jesus and others and then put yourself last. But it's all built on that foundation of faith that he was taught to put his faith in Jesus Christ, and he did that. Well, in the passage that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 9, by faith he, that's Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse number 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Because that's what faith is supposed to produce, obedience. Some people go on to say, well, it's just faith, and it is. But as James tells us, that faith is supposed to produce obedience, or as James says, works. And so he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. That's back in Genesis chapter 12, I think, where it says, as God told him, so Abraham just went, left Ur of the Chaldees, and headed out to a land that he didn't know, because that was by faith that he was obedient to the calling of God on his life. And I'm thinking about this prayer emphasis, and I did want to do some over this month or so that we'll be in it, just some pulling together for all of us to challenge us to live our lives in prayer, but live it in faith-filled prayer. Faith is not believing that God could do something. I believe God could pick this building up, spin it three times, and put it right back. But he's not going to. But we ought to pray, not saying, oh yeah, God, you could do whatever you want. We ought to try to get in that place where say, Lord, we're asking by faith that you would do something. So there's some of us that need to have some family here on Easter. I'm trying to have some of mine that are here and they're 4 hours away. So I'm working on them. But there's some of us that need to be praying by faith. Lord, please, please bring that son, that father, that brother, whoever it is. And I want us to be praying by faith that God would bring them into not only Easter Sunday, but then in fellowship with the Lord. If they're saved and away from him, that they get right with him. If they're not saved, that they would be saved. And as Abraham is that great picture that we saw back in that lesson about him in our prayer journal that we've been going through, and I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I do. But Abraham, he embodied that praying faith. He embodied that, I believe it because God said it, I'm going to trust him for it. And he obeyed God's heavenly command to leave his country and to go and establish what God had him to do. And then, as it says, he looked for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then it goes on to say about his wife, though through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. If you don't believe in somebody, you don't spend a lot of time asking them anything. If you ask somebody for $5, you assume they have it, right? Curtis Hudson, the old preacher, he said that somebody asked this person, he said, hey, could I borrow $5? And he said, I'm sorry, this is my bad ear, what'd you say? And he said, could I borrow $10? And that person said, could you ask me again this $5 ear? He could hear a little better than he acted like. Well, you don't ask somebody for $5 unless you think they've got $5. Why would you waste your time? So Sarah believe God, and she was delivered of that. Now, she laughed a little bit. You remember the story. But Scripture says in verse 11 of Hebrews 11 that she judged him faithful who had promised. And so the missing element in our prayer, I think, is that what Sarah had, judging him faithful, that he can and that he will. And so tonight as we leave, I want you to try to, if it's not already, if that element is not in your prayer life, tomorrow as you wake up and you get going in your day, that you pray not only that God could do something, Lord, I pray that you would. I pray that you would work on my coworker, that I could have him listen to the gospel, or he'd come to church with me, or that I could get that issue resolved. Sometimes we just pray defeated. Lord, I pray you'd work that mess out. We pray such general prayers that we're not praying specifically for the Lord to do something. And it's not just something that we toss up and don't expect anything out of it. Lord, I just prayed you'd take something and make some kind of blessing out of that mess. No, instead, Lord, I'm praying, asking you as Sarah did, I'm going to judge you faithful who promised. I'm asking you to work that marriage problem out that we're having. And you pray in faith, believing. One last thing, if you're here tonight, I never like to close a service without mentioning, if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Brother Scherfe gave mention of that when he came to Christ. Maybe you don't have that certainty. then my friend, can I just tell you that we're getting ready to celebrate Easter. Easter Resurrection Sunday is all about the final work of Jesus Christ, the finalized death, burial, resurrection, that he defeated death, hell, and the grave for your sins. And if you would trust that resurrected Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, he would forgive them. You and I were responsible for all the sins in our lives. So either we stood responsible for all of those, and that meant eternal separation from God, or we received Christ for full forgiveness, like a pardon. And we get those sins put on Jesus' account, and he takes them off of ours. And that was only made possible not because Jesus went around doing a lot of teaching. It was only made possible because of the finished work of Christ. He not only said he was God, he not only said, I'm the Messiah, but he went to the cross. That wasn't enough. He was buried. That wasn't enough. Because lots of people who have claimed to be lots of things have died for something. But he rose again. And so he did it for you and me. So now the question is, because of that resurrected Christ who died for my sins, died for your sins, do you choose to continue to be responsible for your sins and held accountable for them? Or do you put them on the account of Christ and you ask him for forgiveness? And my friend, that's the only way a person goes to heaven, if Christ is your Savior, forgiver of your sins. He wants to be. But he wants us to receive his forgiveness. He doesn't demand it. Father, bless us now as our prayer. I thank you for this good night we've had together here as church family. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help each and every one of us do soul searching work in our lives. And may we realize for sure that our faith is in Christ, finished work of Christ. And then, dear Lord, I pray that we have seen tonight how important prayer is. And I pray that if somebody's unsaved, they would get saved. And Lord, every saved individual would be right with you. Tonight, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, I'm not going to beg you and plead with you. But if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, maybe you're a church member here or somewhere else, but you're not saved, you're not sure about that, would you step out and come? Somebody will let you out if they're... on the end of the aisle, just come on out. I'll be right here. I'll meet you down front. Anybody at all. If you're here and you're saved, but you need to have more faith in your prayer life, I should say, I challenge you tonight. Say, Lord, I want to be serious about this. I want to be like Sarah. I want to judge you faithful to answer prayer. I challenge you to do business with the Lord. If you need to come forward and pray at this altar, want somebody to pray with, we'll be glad to have. There's a deacon up here on the first, second row. He'd be glad to pray with you. If you're a lady, we'd have a lady pray with you. You need some camaraderie in prayer. You come on. This altar is open. We'll play one more verse. If the Lord has pricked your heart tonight, just nudged you, why don't you make a decision right there in your seat? Lord, you are trustworthy. I can trust you. I can not only just toss these prayers up like willy-nilly and just don't expect anything out of them. Lord, I can pray in faith, believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's be those kind of prayers, would we? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I hope you've enjoyed being in God's house tonight. I want to spend a little bit more time on prayer, and I want it to in prayer rather. And so I trust that tonight was a good time for our church family. Please don't forget, take some of these Easter invite cards and be praying, believing that God would bring us a lot of guests. The gospel will be preached. The gospel will be sung about. It's going to be a wonderful time. I challenge you to get some of those, and hope you'll greet somebody who you didn't talk to on the way in before you leave. God bless you. You're dismissed.